Good morning, and welcome to Zion. Welcome to this place of worship, and I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether we are young or old, whether we are first-time or long-time worshipers, whether we come full of doubts or whether we're filled with faith, whether we come with joy or sorrow, in this place, we are a community bound together because of what Jesus has done for us. In this place, we are the church gathered to worship and be empowered by God's Spirit. All are welcome in this place. I want to especially welcome our visitors this morning. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill out the visitor card that we have in the pew in front of you, please do that so we can have record of your time here with us. It's good to see some of our visitors back again this week from traveling around Oregon. So I'm going to invite you to stand and greet one another. If you have an announcement, please come forward. This is your time to please come forward.
This is from the Gifts Discernment Committee. We have developed a congregational survey with the intent of gauging interest in and willingness to serve the various roles and activities of Zion. The information from this survey will be used by the various committees of the church, not just the Gifts Discernment Committee, and will provide a valuable source of information for those committees as they seek to fulfill their roles within the church. Due to the amount of information we will collect, we are asking that all who are able to complete the survey electronically. We will, of course, be more than happy to accept paper responses, but we will be putting them into the electronic form, so it'll be easier if you could do it electronically. Now, mind you, I don't do it electronically, so don't feel bad if you can't. Oh, and the survey will hopefully come out this week.
Just a reminder, because I have forgotten to put it in the bulletin or come up here. If you still have berries and you have a plethora of them, we are going to be doing a jam canning time at the end, like in fall sometimes. But if you can, like, if you could donate some of your berries and just put them in a Ziploc and freeze them, we'll have them ready for when we do that. So, thanks.
I looked around. I think I am the only Bible school person, director person here this morning, so hey, it's me. I have to apologize. As we're looking in the boxes, the then and now stuff got there because Jennifer took care of it before she left this week. But for group leaders, the... is that me making that yucky noise? Okay. But for group leaders, the books did not get put in your boxes yet. I just realized that this morning. So we will get that out to you guys. I made lots of phone calls this week and found out that lots of people are going to be gone and lots of people are already helping. And we still need 8 more group leaders. So I don't know if there's anybody that I didn't call this week. It seemed like I called the list. But anyways, If you can just contact, I guess, me, because I'm here, and let me know if you can be a group leader, and I'll work on getting all those books out to people as early this week as possible. Thanks.
I'd just like to welcome you all to come this evening at 5 p.m. I'll be sharing about my trip to the Middle East, most specifically Israel-Palestine, at 5 p.m. in the gym. So I'd love to see you all there. Thanks.
You may have heard me talk about the visitor who will come back from Mennonite World Conference with me in the next week, just around the start of Vacation Bible School. If we could present his picture, please. Okay, first of all, that is his church. That is the first church of Samogoiri in Burkina Faso. What you see there are their instruments, their musical instruments, and music is a very important part of their evangelism and what even brought them together as a church. Hopefully when the tall person in the blue shirt, I think, yeah, tall person in the very back is here. He'll be able to tell you more about that story and how that church got formed and the role of Christian music in his language and tribal style had to do. If we could show the next picture, you'll see him and his family. Oh, it's a little blurry. Okay, well, you'll get a better look at him when he's here in 2 weeks. His name is Fabe Adama Traore, part of the first generation of Christians from his own tribe. And like I coached you a couple of weeks ago to say hello and welcome to our French-speaking Congolese speaker, I'd like to coach you just briefly in a word that's in your bulletin that says welcome. And when he's here preaching the Sunday after that, I'd love us to say, repeat after me, Idanse. Idanse. That is Jula for welcome. One more time, Idanse. Thank you.
Just a couple apologies on the bulletin. There were not only 16 people here last Sunday. I think that was supposed to be 163. And also Emma Phillips is sharing this morning in our service, not Emma Gingrich. Would you please turn to 812 in your blue hymnal for our responsive reading together. 812. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, yet you have made them a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Would you pray with me? We welcome Father, Son, and Spirit in our worship today. Father, we celebrate that we are your children. Son, we celebrate that you have called us your sisters and brothers. Spirit, we celebrate that you dwell within us. As we come to worship you, we recognize the beauty of your truth and your steadfast love. We praise you that you are alive. Each part is real, alive, and present. And we sing songs to celebrate Father, Son, and Spirit this morning. Amen. Would you please take your blue hymnal and turn to number 68? I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing number 68. Please stand. please remain standing and turn to 598. A Wonderful Savior is Jesus. 598. We're going to continue our singing with the youth coming forward to lead you in one more song.
Thank you.
Please turn to number 411 in your hymnal. 411. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Let's pray together. Lord, in response to your great love for us, we joyfully and gratefully offer the fruits of our labor and our lives in these gifts. We ask that you would bless and multiply them, that the transformative power of your love would be a reality in our neighborhood, our community, and our world. Amen. We're going to run our slideshow next, and there will be things in there that maybe need explanation, but we will explain those later. So this was the biennial National Mennonite Convention that we attended the end of June through July 5th. So enjoy the slideshow, then we're going to have some of the group share.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jared for putting together the slideshow. We worked at a thrift store, so you could see there that Harrison was kind of checking out all of the clothing that we were sorting and trying those on. I'm going to have three come up to share with you. Harrison is not here this morning, or Cameron Roth, so there are going to be others that are going to share some of their reflections for them. So.
I'm Emma Phillips, not Emma Gingrich, so if you're expecting her, I'm sorry. Okay, so my favorite part of convention was one of the seminars that was given by a woman who spoke during the week. Her name was Sunitha Millsap, and she talked a lot about her main thing she said was, don't look for the living among the dead, or stop looking for love in empty tombs. And I just really like to listen to her story as she talked about her childhood story about growing up in a family home that wasn't very good, and hearing her insight of not having a mother that when she was younger, but now she's grown up and used that to be helpful to other kids and play the mother part in other people's lives. And so how she took her struggle and made it into something that she could use in her life. And then also, I'm going to share about the shirts that we gathered throughout the week. And the first shirts that have the arrow on them, that was from the Heston College. And to get those, it was quite a struggle. They handed out Bibles, and you had to find a highlighted verse in the Bible. And then once you found it, then you wrote it on the floor, what your thing was, and your phone number or a way to contact you, and then you had to try to find your match, who had the matching verse. And so it might have already been written on the ground, or they might have come around and try to find yours, and then you call them or whatever, and you meet up with them. I found my match the first day, but it took 3 days for us to meet up to get our shirts, and I don't think Tristan ever found his match. And then Alta found her match and got her shirt in 10 minutes, so that wasn't really fair, but... so that was kind of fun. That was a fun way to get shirts. And I just had a fun time. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to go. Okay.
You can go. yeah, I also had a really good time at convention because, I went with some really fun people, and that was my first time ever leaving the West Coast. So it was a very interesting experience. And the most meaningful part, I think, to me was just getting to worship with everyone there together and getting to sing. And they sang a lot of new songs, but it was still cool. It was still fun. And I guess our adventure, what is it thing? Our service project the girls got to blow up balloons for an hour. So we worked really hard, and then we sorted clothes, which is why Harrison kept putting on all those weird clothes. He couldn't sort them without putting them on. So, yeah, well, he was too distracting. But I had a really great time. So thank you for allowing me to go and have a good time with all these fun people.
Okay, I'm just super thankful for the opportunity to go because I didn't get the chance to go in high school. So it was just nice to finally be able to put just an idea, I guess, of just being able to experience myself from what everybody has told me and then be able to actually talk about it with people instead of understanding what they're talking about. I also appreciated just the opportunity to go with the high schoolers that the whole group also hadn't gone, so it was just kind of putting me on the same level, which was nice. But and just also hearing their reactions and reflections to what they heard or saw during the week, and it was just kind of seeing it from their eyes was really nice, too. I got a lot of points, a lot of notes from all the sessions and speakers that I went to, but kind of the main one theme that stuck out to me was that the Lord desires a personal relationship with us, and He's calling us to a radical obedience. And I appreciated the way that one speaker from a session broke down Jesus' words of, I am the way, the truth, and the life, requires us to get our mind, heart, and feet involved. And so he broke it down by taking out like the truth, and he said, being in the Word, training our minds to think clearly. So getting it out from all the worldly things, and then focusing our mind onto the Word, and just clearing out the worldly things and focusing on God instead of being so stuck in the world. Because when you are in the world, that's what your mind starts to become too. And he wrote down the truth by saying, being in the Word, the life, opening our hearts to experience deeply. So experiencing what God has for us in each day, the good, the bad, the hard, the easy, just being open to what he has each day for us. And then the way is activating our feet to obey faithfully. So just following God's will. So just kind of cool how I broke it down to mind, heart, and feet, and getting our whole body involved in it. Another said, know the way, go the way, show the way. So again, just being the Word, knowing the Word, and then being in our community, church community, and then following through with that and then showing it to the world and sharing God's love. The gospel is relational, and the gospel is relational and heard when... Okay, the gospel is relational and heard when love is felt. If I could follow my writing, that'd be awesome. So he was just talking about how, it's a relationship, and it's a relationship with us and Jesus, and then also just in the church community. And it's heard when we love each other and not just shoving it down each other's or people's throats or hating on each other. And we may not always agree with one another. We may come with different focuses or passions, different opinions. But we need to focus on what unites us and not what separates us. So just focusing on, we come from different places, but Jesus is our Savior. So focusing on that, I just pray that can be our focus and bring us closer together.
I'm going to invite the children to come forward for a story this morning. So come on up. Jared's going to be sharing the story.
All right. I will be reading to you guys Peanut Butter and Cupcake. Peanut Butter got a ball for his birthday. He was kind of bad at kicking it with his feet, but was kind of good at balancing it on his head. Still, it wasn't much fun playing with a ball all by himself. Want to play with me? He asked his mom. They had just moved to town, and Peanut Butter didn't have any friends yet. I think you should go outside and find someone to be your new friend, she answered. Peanut Butter liked that idea very much, so off he went. It wasn't long before he saw a someone. Hello, I'm new here, and I'd like to play. Maybe now, maybe later, or even all day. I'll make you chuckle deep down in your belly, and we'll go together like peanut butter and hamburger. I'm sorry, said Hamburger, but I'm busy walking the dogs. Thanks for asking, though. You're welcome, said Peanut Butter. Maybe next time. And he kept walking. Then he saw Cupcake, playing by herself. He thought she looked sweet and might make a good friend. Hello, I'm new here, and I'd like to play. Maybe now, maybe later, or even all day long. I'll make you chuckle deep down in your belly, and we'll go together like Peanut Butter and... Cupcake. I'm building sprinkle castles, said Cupcake. You can stay and watch, but don't hit my castle with your ball or I'll be mad. Peanut Butter didn't want to make anyone mad. That's okay, Peanut Butter said. And he kept walking. Then he saw Egg rolling down the path. Hello, I'm new here, and I'd like to play. Maybe now, maybe later, or even all day long. I'll make you chuckle deep down in your belly, and we'll go together like Peanut Butter and Egg. Peanut Butter and Egg? That's funny. You're cracking me up. Egg laughed. And then he really did crack. Peanut Butter didn't want the egg to laugh anymore, so he kept walking. He found someone jumping. "Hello, I'm new here, and I'd like to play. Maybe now, maybe later, or even all day. I'll make you chuckle deep down in your belly, and we'll go together like peanut butter and meatball?" 32, 33, 34, "Shh, I'm counting my jumps," said Meatball. 35, 36, 37, "I'm trying to set a record," Peanut Butter whispered back. "But I have this ball, and..." 38, 39, 40, "Shh," said Meatball. Peanut Butter kept walking. Finding a friend was harder than he thought it was going to be. Then Peanut Butter saw another someone sitting under a tree, and that was good because he was ready to sit down too. Even though he was getting tired, he gave it another try. "Hello, I'm new here, and I'd like to play. Maybe now, maybe later, or even all day long. I'll make you chuckle deep down in your belly, and we'll go together like peanut butter and French fries." "Not right now," said French Fries. "I just remembered I'm supposed to help Hamburger with his hot dogs, and I need to catch up." Peanut Butter walked up to one more someone who was practicing his ABCs. Before he could open his mouth, Soup picked up a spoon, dipped it into himself, and then showed it to Peanut Butter. In the spoon were two letters, an N and an O. "But I didn't say anything yet," said Peanut Butter. "You didn't have to," said Soup. "Oh," said Peanut Butter. Peanut Butter found a bench to sit on. He was almost ready to give up. But as he sat there, so very sad, a new kid walked up to him. "Hello," she said. Peanut Butter took a deep breath. "Hello. I'm new here, and I'd like to play. Maybe now, maybe later, or even all day. I'll make you chuckle deep down in your belly, and we'll go together like peanut butter and jelly." "Sure, I'll be your friend," said Jelly. "But could you teach me how to keep the ball on my head? I'm only good with my feet." So they taught each other what they knew and made each other chuckle deep down in their bellies. It wasn't long before their laughing made the other kids come over. They asked if they could play too. Of course, Peanut Butter and Jelly were happy to let them join in. As his new friends knocked the ball around with their feet and their heads, and in one case, his buns, Peanut Butter chuckled deep down in his belly because they all went together like peanut butter and hamburger and cupcake and egg and meatball and French fries and soup and jelly. The end. Now, I think this story is important because if you're having a hard time trying to find friends, you just got to keep on looking, and eventually you'll get to know people and become really good friends with them. So you can go back to your seats now. I am now Harrison, so I'll be reading what he had to say. He played a game called Bafa Bafa, which he thought was a cool game where you get in groups and try to communicate with limited words and actions, and he thought this showed how we act or judge with other cultures. And then his favorite speaker was Shane Claiborne, and he liked the part where he said that you have faith through justice and actions. And now, I'm Jared. While in Kansas City for the Mennonite Youth Convention, I enjoyed the atmosphere of being around so many other Mennonites. Even when our group didn't know all the songs they sang during worship, I was still amazed at how many other youth groups were there worshiping with us. One of my favorite seminars was called Sports, Whose Event Is It Anyway?, that was led by David King. He discussed how parents of athletes are pushing their kids to be the best while their kids just want to have fun and enjoy the sport. During the seminar, we went through and discussed how we could make the environment of youth sports better for the athletes, the officials, and the fans. When we weren't in the worship services or seminars, we would walk around the college booths, eat delicious food in the dining hall, or play ping pong in the rec room. For our service project, we went to Synergy Services Thrift Store, which was a lot like the Canby Center we have here. While we were there, we helped clean their building, sort clothes, and help them prepare for their 4th of July celebration the next day. After our service project, we went to Worlds of Fun, which I really enjoyed because I love big roller coasters. I would like to thank Zion for giving us the opportunity to go to the Mennonite Youth Convention.
All right, so I'm going to be Cameron for a little bit. He wrote, "Convention in Kansas City was amazing. It was fun and cool to see hundreds of other Mennonites worship and learn about God. The experience is great. I have learned so many things from the seminars, and some of those lessons were about sports and how to glorify God through them, or how to keep your temper when something happens on the court that makes you mad. The seminars were great, but to me the worships were even better, and this is coming from a guy who has one singing voice, monotone. The worship was great. It had loud music, so I could sing out loud and not care if someone hears me. The messages were also great within the worships. My favorite speaker was Shane Claiborne. He spoke about not letting people get in the way of your faith. If your faith were big enough, then you would be willing to stand against anything for it. Kansas City was a great experience. The seminars and worships were fun, but that's not all the trip's about. We also, as a youth group, got to know each other a little better, and it was just fun to hang out with this group of friends. Overall, I had a blast at MennoCon 2015. For me, I'm going to talk a little bit about my favorite seminar. It was called Cheat Chump or Christian. And basically, there was four people, one athlete from each of the four colleges. There was a cross-country and track runner from EMU, a basketball player from Bethel, a soccer player from Goshen, and another soccer player from Bluffton. And what they talked about is how to balance like their Christian life and their sports and how they like go together. And they talked about some of them would pray before their events and after the events. And some of them would even pray with the other teams. And they talked about how if the other team cheated, how they had to learn to keep it in and not retaliate and to love their neighbor even if they were not doing the right thing, and how hard it was for them to contain and stay in their Christian beliefs with that. So that was my favorite seminar that we attended. And I also enjoyed going to the rec room, as Jared said, in the plane. They had a bunch of ping pong tables there and a lot of fun things to do in there. And all the college booths with the shirts, and I got some of those. So I had a really good time, and thanks for letting me go.
Wow, those were powerful lessons that you got. And thank you very much, youth and others who are bringing those lessons home to us. I'd like to share a little bit more about my delegate experience and reflections from that, representing you as a congregation. I'd like to begin with a reading of the scripture passage that was part of the focus for the conference. We were looking at the resurrection story in Luke 24. So if we could have the several verses projected, are already there. Just listen to them again for the first time, please. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And then a little bit later, as they've talked about these events, the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, the mysterious risen Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know, on that first Easter Sunday that the story recounts, the risen Jesus and two of his followers are walking together, and the followers don't understand that their travel companion is the risen Jesus. And there you have this amazing picture of the human condition, broken people in bondage to despair and blind to the grace and the blessing of Jesus being with them. And how much trouble we get into ourselves whenever we major just in the blessing and grace part, while ignoring the brokenness and blindness of life, or whenever we major just in the brokenness and bondage while ignoring the blessing and grace. And my recent experience of the biennial convention was an immersion in both the blessedness and brokenness, both the grace and the struggle, just like what we hear about in this resurrection story. And that's not a judgment on the event. That's just life. That's any moment, any encounter. I experienced great blessing and grace connecting there with old friends, as well as around our delegate tables for prayer and discussion. That was not because we always saw eye to eye with each other. We did not. But the grace and the blessing came as we shared ourselves and as we got to know each other with our questions and our uncertainties, as well as with our commitments and our confessions. For then the focus was on God, on our real selves, and on each other. The brokenness and the blindness, the bondage broken, crept in more when we focused on causes and issues and ideologies. Whenever the focus of our resolutions or our discussions was more outward towards others and their brokenness and bondage rather than on who we really were in our own struggles. We discussed, we declared about the sins of soldiers and drone pilots, Israelis versus Palestinians, sexual abusers and those who protect them, and all of which was true, all of which was necessary and terrible. And we did discuss our own action steps and responsibilities in these matters. But I kept sensing quite often this mentality of us and them. And that us and them mentality also fed into our discussions and discernment around sexuality and what that means for church membership and leadership. Talking in terms of gay or straight, progressive or traditionalist, affirming or rejecting, including or excluding, all of these were labels for us and them with their own teams focused on why we're right and they're wrong. I mean, that wasn't always the case, but there was enough of that. And that implies the assumption that I'm perfectly capable of figuring out right from wrong on any issue and doing the right thing on my own. So why can't you see and do just like I do? And that leads to an attitude that says, so those who disagree with me are not only wrong, but they must be wrongly motivated. And worse, they are impediments to our righteousness and our purity, whether it's a traditional excluding kind of purity that we want or a progressive up-to-date kind. And then we end up stuck facing each other as teams with competing pieces, or partial pieces of the truth, while then we're overlooking other needs and dangers too. But I think I began to experience sort of vague glimmers of a breakthrough towards something deeper beyond the impasse. And one glimmer came during a worship service when I was deeply struck anew by the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Especially those words, Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. And then the words that really got me were, it was my sin that held him there. And on that Saturday morning at convention in Kansas City, suddenly I was back to an altar call that I answered 42 years ago in Florida, where I wept tears of old-fashioned remorse for my sin. Not just my sins, which are many, but just for sin even, the brokenness, the blindness, the bondage of the human condition. And in my blindness, I convinced myself that I was so much more virtuous and right than other people, even while I was getting entrapped and entangled in some wicked stuff. At that moment, I didn't hear a voice, but this sentence came to mind that said, I'm taking out your heart of stone and replacing it with a tender heart of flesh. And so then I also wept tears of relief. Is a hardness of heart anything like Jesus' words to Cleopas and his friends, O you who are slow of heart to believe? And would more possible breakthroughs then come with all of us seeing ourselves in the same leaky, sinking boat of brokenness, bondage, and blindness, whatever form they take for us, whether it's fear or hatred? And instead of dividing ourselves into teams of the righteous and the unjust, the executive board of Mennonite Church USA took a powerful step in that direction when they issued to us delegates a confession and an apology for what they described as their very naive and overconfident reliance upon their own education, technique, organization, virtue, wisdom, and administrative skills in trying to deal with the differences of opinion over sexuality. And confessing that their naive and overconfident self-reliance had only brought us to deeper impasse and distrust of each other. There was also a statement by the Hispanic Mennonite Conference urging us, yes, to hold to the confession of faith in all matters sexual and spiritual, but it also included this powerful confession and a request of forgiveness for, among other things, being slow to name and to denounce things among them like domestic and sexual violence, a culture of machismo, pornography, male domination of women. And wisely, some delegate moved that we acknowledge and accept the executive board's confession and apology, which we did. And if I had been more on the ball, I might have proposed a resolution of confession and apology for all the rest of us saying, in effect, me too, me too. After all, did not the great councils of the church some 1,600 years ago resolve and settle the question of whether or not grace just brought us Jesus so that we could decide on our own to follow him and follow him on our own power? Or did they not say that really following Jesus is grace and gift every step of the way? And I thought we'd revisited and resettled that point in the Reformation when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, and the very first one said that the whole life of believers is one of repentance. And wasn't that what taught Menno Simon's heart to fear and his fears relieved when he also came to understand that following Jesus in wisdom, obedience, faithfulness, and virtue are not our gifts to God, but they're God's gift to us that we seek every day and must surrender for in repentance and trust every day. And many of us here, I know, experience a sort of stifling kind of reliance on human wisdom and willpower around things like dress and hair length and other signs of nonconformity to the world in the past. And are our controversies today at heart sometimes also conflicts between two different but mirror images of this kind of naive, over-optimistic faith in human wisdom and will? And are these naive and optimistic, over-optimistic faiths operating in reference to the world or in reaction against the world so that we can distinguish ourselves from the world? And yet a reaction against the world is still a worldly reaction. So my greatest fear then for the Mennonite Church coming forward from the conference was not that our membership will include homosexuals or homophobes, if you want to use those words, and I really don't like them. But my greatest fear is that we will have no more sinners. If we become convinced that only they, you know, and pick your they, whoever they are sinners, fill in the blanks, then we should take our scissors and cut out of the Bible 1 Timothy 1:15 that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That's not a safe thing to say if we're afraid of recognizing ourselves as sinners, or if we're afraid of there being sinners among us, or if we're afraid of anything being sin. And another possible step toward a breakthrough in the future came for me at least when, you know, after the vote on extending the membership guidelines was announced. And as we delegates filed out of the hall, we made our way through lines of people who were making their pain over that known, in silence, some in tears. Being caught off guard, not knowing what to do, I just went through the line as quickly as I could. But that night, I sensed that I'd really blown it. Why, I wasn't sure until the next morning when it struck me that every human action is a cry for love. Every human action is a cry for that divine love from which we come and that divine love to which we are going back. And sometimes, so often, our cries for love, yes, are self-defeating or counterproductive. And because we are broken and in bondage and blind, also our responses are so temporary and inadequate. For not even marriage or sex will really meet this deep need for intimacy and union that we have. This is for God's love forever. But our responses to each other still matter. So the next morning I went around looking for people who looked like they could use a hug, whether we agreed or not, and I gave some out. The Bible tells me that we are to owe no one anything but love. And I'm still struggling, I confess, with whether or not that means I owe everyone as a pastor a marriage ceremony or ordination or affirmation of everything. But love for people, that's just non-negotiable. And that means I owe you my life, even if it comes down to a choice between mine and yours. So hopefully the question is not, do we love them, they, whoever they are, but what does love require? What other step can I take? And who defines that? I honestly do not know what will happen next in the journey that we're on, but I believe that the way forward involves asking the right questions. The right questions are not, are they sinners, but what's the nature of my sin? What are my sins? And are we safe people for everyone who will neither condemn nor condone? Not, how can I convert you to my position, but what's the next stage in my conversion? Not who's right, but what's right in each person's position and experience that I need to hear. The convention at least clarified those questions for me, and those are the questions that I hope to explore, that I hope guide us in the future. And if we cannot avoid controversy or division or offense, then let it be because we dared to love too much rather than too little. Let it be because we dared to love on God's gracious terms, unconditional terms, and not on the world's political and conditional terms of the left or the right. Let it be even for the love that we are willing to share and to give for even those who disagree with us on any matter. Let it be for the humility with which we hold our positions. And let's not do this in reaction to the world nor reference to the world, because the North Star to which we orient is Jesus Christ. And following him is not our gift to God, but God's gift to us. It is grace and blessing every step of the way. So my prayer in all this is that God will lead us beyond our dilemmas, beyond our stalemates, beyond our entrenched either or positions, to a deeper truth about God and ourselves, to a fuller understanding and obedience to the truth, a fuller understanding that respects and reveals both the Bible and our experience, truth to which our mortal minds alone would not bring us, which our fallen natures alone cannot obey, not without repentance and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Through the scriptures and the church here, yes, but also worldwide and through all time, to costly truths that challenge and convict and discipline all of us equally, as well as liberating truth which restores our union, our unity and dignity, truth that is ancient and so often forgotten, but also new in its application, and finally, truth which fits every one of us, chief of sinners, for our eternal union with God. Individual congregations and face-to-face relationships like us, we need to lead the way on that before denominations and conferences can follow. Can we think about that just a moment before we sing the next song?
We want to kind of meditate on this song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. David is going to sing the first verse, then I'm going to ask you to join as we sing the second and third verses together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turned his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice, aloud among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until
thank you. That was powerful hearing it with that voice in particular. The first thing I have to share and confess is that I'm taking down sharing and requests, and I don't have a pen. Does anyone have a pen quickly that I might borrow? Thank you, Mark. Okay. Thank you. This is a time for you to share any joys, concerns, testimonies, responses, or anything like that. So Alta's in the back with a microphone, and I'm here, so let me know. Let us know by raising your hand if you have anything you'd want to share. Also, there's one right there. Stacy. Or Tracy. Sorry.
Hi, this is Stacy. I just wanted to ask for a prayer for our little cousin, Ella. She is the granddaughter of Pat and Denny Berkey that are from Oregon, so you might know them. But she is 4. And she was having some aches and pains that didn't seem normal. So they had her checked out, and she was found to have leukemia. And she's been in the hospital this week. And the kind that she has is supposed to be have a really good success rate after her chemo, like a 90% recovery. But she'll be there for 3 to 4 weeks, and then she'll continue treatment for another month or so after that. So just ask for prayer for Ella and her family. And she read a book this week with her mom that they had in the children's hospital and realized that her hair is probably going to fall out. And she's really unhappy with that because she enjoys having her hair decorated. So she asked her mom if they could pray for a miracle that she would get to keep her hair. So anyway, I just I'd like you to join me in prayer for that. Thank you.
There's one behind you there, too. Yeah. Anna, yeah.
Hi, this is Anna. So my aunt Laura used to go to Salem Mennonite, and her parents are Harold and Lydia Hostetler. You might know them. Her mother passed away, Lydia passed away, I think a couple weeks ago, and she had to travel out from Colorado. And I guess a lot of people have been traveling for the funeral, and then she got back home, and a few days later, her dad had a massive heart attack. So Harold passed away, and his service is today at, I believe it's at Albany Mennonite. They were, yeah, at 6 o'clock. I think they were in the home down there in Albany. So just prayers for the family that they can find the resources to travel back and forth and the time and just kind of an unfortunate situation.
This is for Laura, your aunt, you said, who lost both her mother and father recently.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Doug.
I want to call your attention to the bouquet on the organ. I recall, I think it was on a hike with some friends, someone said, have you noticed how the colors in nature never clash, how they all go together? As you think about that bouquet up there, it just wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be beautiful if it was just that yellow thing in the middle that's drooping down, or that pale violet. And I think there's enough there to meditate on for the rest of the day as we think of Matthew's sermon and God's creation and the way we should relate to one another.
Kevin.
Just continued prayers for Kevin's cousin, Chris. Her family is still hospitalized. The dad is doing better, is off a ventilator, but is having a hard time eating for obvious reasons. The little girl came off the ventilator today. She's 2. And the little boy is still in a very critical condition, has pretty bad burns. But is hanging in there, and it will have a lot of ongoing surgeries. So,
Chris in Chicago and their family. Yes, thank you. Hey, there's one there, Serenity.
I'm excited about Vacation Bible School here. I think if you could pray for, there are so many kids from the food pantry and around our area who would love being here, and we are going to do our best to invite all the kids that come to our home on Tuesday, and then we are, you know, going to be attempting to give rides to everyone. So please be praying for the families and the kids who might want to be involved, that there would be much release and, I don't know, allowance in the spirit for all of that to occur, and safety to be part of that too.
Along with that is next Sunday we will have a potluck, because our service will be outside in the tent as we prepare for Bible school. The glitch in next week is that the bridge is going to be closed down here as you go into Hubbard. They're going to start doing repairs there, so it's going to be some hassle with travel for the week.
And I would encourage us also to be praying for this wonderful ministry of Vacation Bible School and all the people who will be leading it in any way, as well as the people whose lives it will touch. Well, please join me then in prayer. Again, prayer to close with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. As you identified so deeply and so wonderfully, so lovingly, so powerfully, and yet so humbly with us, Lord, we dare to claim your name. Sinners we may be, but also extremely, supremely blessed by the grace of your union with us, the way, O Lord, that you are leading us on that path towards eternal and timeless reunion with you. But we thank you for the deep intimacy of spirit already within us and among us that turns our attention to you in faith, hope, and love, and turns our attention to each other as well. That makes us a community in which increasingly we can share our needs, our hurts, as well as our joys. And dear Lord, I pray that you continue to cultivate such gifts of love in us that as a congregation, as individuals, as families, we would radiate your love for us and through us. Bless as well, O God, our partnership with other churches in this community, in our denomination, also around the world. And for those of us who will be attending Mennonite World Conference next week, such as Pat and Ward and Wanda and myself, I pray that we would be open to all the blessings you would give and pass on through us. Dear Lord, we pray for the ministries among us as well, especially for Vacation Bible School and for all who are preparing, putting together so many things, putting in the time, the attention towards the details. Thank you for them and sustain and bless and guide each one of them. And for whoever you are bringing here as a pupil or a participant, may indeed their hearts and minds be open to everything that you would share, dear God. Especially, dear Lord, bless Andy and Serenity as they connect with their friends and their community through the food shelf and Hubbard neighborhood. And grant indeed that there would be safety, time, desire, and friendship in all the travel and attendance here. Dear Lord, we pray for Chris in Chicago and her family, oh, the members who have been lost or so badly injured in the fire. We pray, O God, for their continued healing and recovery, for blessing for the whole family to sustain them in the time of fear and of loss. Bless the doctors and nurses working with them as well, O God. And I pray, dear Lord, for Anna, or for Anna's aunt Laura, and for her recent heavy losses of mother and father and her whole family, dealing with travel, time, and attention and support for each other. Hold them and carry them close to your heart in this time of grief and loss. For Anna and all her family, I pray. And for Ella, the four-year-old with leukemia. Oh God, even asking for the miracle of keeping her hair, we join her in that prayer, oh God, asking that you would indeed bless and heal her, sustain her family through this time of need. And dear God, show yourself faithful, we pray, and bless the doctors and nurses. There are other cares and concerns we bring in our heart, especially, O God, the loneliness that is just part of the human condition and the desire for friendship and connection. We pray, O God, that again you will touch us where we need that most from our time here and also as you speak to us through the week. We so offer ourselves to you as foretastes of that kingdom yet to come for which we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's stand together and turn to 105. hymn number 105, Christ, We Do All Adore Thee.